And so what I want to remind you tonight is with that dramatic story or with this petition that we find here at the end of verse 4, it should make us really, you know, vividly aware of the fact about this important spiritual truth. I don't know how often we really think about this, how much it really plays into our daily prayers or our congregational prayers, but it's really the prayer that God would preserve us, that God would protect us, that God would keep us from temptation, that if He were to just simply remove some protective barriers that are already there and existing in your life, that we could be cast into situations that might not only threaten our lives, but our spirituality and even our souls. Remember, on one occasion, Jesus said, you know, if the days have been lengthened, even the elect wouldn't be saved. But there can be situations that we can be cast into that would be virtually unbearable to us, or perhaps unbearable altogether. And so few people, I think, really are praying with this mindset, and that's why we see so many in our day and our age falling into temptation. So I want us to learn how to pray this better, and what it really means when we're praying it, what we're really asking God for when we say, lead us not into temptation. And one part of it is we're really asking the Lord to just wisely govern over our foes to keep us from being tempted in the first place. To wisely govern over our foes so that we won't even be tempted in the first place. Listen to this portion of an answer to what are we praying in this part of the Lord's Prayer taken from the larger catechism. This is just a brief excerpt from it. It says, we acknowledge that Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready powerfully to draw us aside and ensnare us, and that we, even after the pardon of our sins, by reason of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted, but also of ourselves unable and unwilling to resist those temptations. And so one of the things that it says here is so often God's people, because of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, can fall into temptation. And so we need to pray, as part of being watchful, is to pray that we won't enter into temptations. I wonder if in our mindset, because we are reformed, because we believe in the doctrine of election, if somehow in our minds we take these doctrines that are meant to comfort us and encourage us and strengthen us, but we can take some of these teachings and twist them into unhealthy application and say things such as, in our minds, maybe we wouldn't actually ever verbalize this in a prayer or actually say it to ourselves, but really in our reasoning and our thinking, well, I'm elect, I don't really need to worry about being tempted or falling into temptation. Well, I say, if you think that, or if you think, well, I don't need to really pray because God's just going to take care of me, I think you're putting yourself in a very precarious situation, because God has not only elected you, but He has commanded you to pray this prayer. And Christians need to be watchful. It's so easy to fall, and to not pray this prayer is to really engage in what I would call risky behavior. We've seen, just breaking over the news the last few days, that a 4-star general who knows what it means to exercise great military power, who's a highly disciplined individual, who is the director of the CIA, thought that he could put a beautiful young reporter around him and meet with her in private, and it wouldn't have consequence. And it's really, in many ways, shaking not only his family, but our own country and nation, as many are wondering what's going to happen because of it. And so we need to make sure that we are very careful and very watchful. And that's what the Lord taught His disciples. That's what the Lord taught Peter, you remember. You remember the night that our Lord was betrayed? Peter had said before that occasion that, you know, he wouldn't ever deny the Lord. Yet the Lord said, yes, you will. For the cock crows twice, you'll have denied me 3 times. remember that night that when they went into the garden and the Lord was praying there, that three different times He told His disciples to keep watch and to pray. And you remember that He'd withdrawn further into the garden and had only taken Peter, James, and John, and He told these men to do this. And you remember after the first time of Him going in further Himself and praying alone and then coming back, He finds them asleep. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, I want to just quote this exactly. Listen. Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And many of us recognize that the Lord, when He comes to Peter after His resurrection and three times asks him, "Do you love me?" that He's restoring Peter, the one who had denied Him three times. We kind of equate those three. But what about prior to it? Three different times, He's warning His disciple to watch and pray. And Peter, there in the presence of the Lord, with all of this going on right around him, a situation highly charged that should have called him to pray, still, he failed to do it. Multitudes are falling away from Christ because they're sleeping on their duty. They're not keeping watch over their souls. We are to be like guards, watching, aware, ever diligent in our prayer life. Christians of all people should realize the weaknesses that they have, the dispositions towards certain sins that they possess, and should be asking God to keep those far away from them. I'm old enough now, I've had enough experience to have witnessed in the life of the church too many people falling away from God. One of our elders at a meeting a month or two ago asked me to put together a list of all the people in our congregation through the years who had been excommunicated so that we could just pray for them, have a special time of prayer for them. The list was too long. The list was too long. And I can tell you that every one of those people that fell started slipping in the area of what we could call little sins, little acts of unfaithfulness, not coming to church a Sunday or two, not reading their Bible like they should, not being prayerful like they ought, giving in to a little bit of this, a little taste of that. And ultimately, their sin ruined their soul. And I want you to think about that because, again, just as we saw in some of these other petitions, notice the corporate nature of this. Lead us not into temptation. This isn't just a prayer you can pray for yourself and, you know, kind of relax and say, "Well, you know, I prayed I won't fall into temptation." We are to be watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, the scriptures say. We are to be praying that none of us will fall into temptation. And when one of us does, we should all be grieved over that failure in the life of the church. And if we're faithful to pray for this, there are so many temptations God keeps us from, just by virtue of praying for it. But the fact does remain that the answer to this prayer, I guess there's an ultimate answer to this when God does take us to heaven, because there will be a time where we won't have to worry about temptation. But for now, in this world, we do know that there are still times when we're tempted. And so, is there a way of thinking about this petition in light of that? Well, I think so. I think another thing that we're really asking for when we say, "Lead us not into temptation," is that God would powerfully enable us to stand when we are being tempted. That we'd be able to stand when we are being tempted. You know, in that situation that I talked about with Peter, who ended up denying the Lord those times, the Lord could have kept him from having been asked those questions by those people there at his trial, the little servant girl around the fire there, he could have kept them from asking Peter whether he knew the Lord or not, but God didn't do that. And the Lord allows us to go into periods of temptation. God, for various reasons and just ends, may so order things that we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time even led captive by temptations, our confession of faith says. But what we have to understand about that is that these temptations aren't temptations from God Himself. Many held in sin's bondage struggle with this. I've heard people say, you know, why has God made it so hard for me to escape the sin? And they really see the temptation as coming from God. Or why has God made me this way, they will say. Well, we need to remember what the Scriptures say and its full testimony on this subject. The Scriptures say that God cannot tempt you to sin. He's holy. He cannot do that. James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We learn from the story of Job, God didn't tempt Job, but He did allow Satan to do so. It really, you know, raises the question, why does God allow us to be tempted? Well, speaking of army generals, I want you to imagine an army general who sets up a boot camp because he wants to take all the recruits that are coming in. And his real goal in these recruits coming in is that they will come out honed and ready soldiers at the end of that time of that camp. And let's say this general, in order to accomplish this, really has nothing much to do with the camp except he puts it under the charge of an extremely hard drill sergeant. And for a couple of months, the men in that camp are driven to the edge. They're yelled and screamed at, every mistake pointed out, days and nights on end of being drilled. And it seems like the drill sergeant is sadistic, that he loves treating the men with as much ill will as he can possibly muster, as he pushes them and even punishes them. And many of the soldiers end up falling out, but in the end there are several good men who survive and make it through, and they're ready go out on the battlefield. How many in that scenario of those men did the general himself drill? Not a one of them. How many can say that the general himself wronged them? Again, none would be able to do so. But they could point out the abuse of the sergeant. The general would probably answer to them, it was for your own good. If he hadn't done that for you, you wouldn't have been ready for the real battles that you're going to face. You see, the way the Scriptures instruct us is that all temptations that Satan brings are ultimately tests from God. James 1 verse 12, immediately preceding that other verse that says that God can't tempt anyone, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to those who love Him. Satan's temptations are God's tests to see what or who we will love. And the wonderful thing about God's working with people is He knows how far He can push us, how much we as His people can endure. He knows the weaknesses of His saints, and He won't push them beyond what they are able. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with a temptation will provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. So that's the goal, is that when we are being tempted, the Lord has provided the way of escape so that we can endure that temptation. And we know ultimately what that escape is. It's Jesus. He's the one that the Father has sent to be like us and to be with us when we're going through times of temptation. For since He Himself was tempted in that which He suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. You see, the believer never really has the right to say to God, "You made it too hard. You gave me something I could not bear. You didn't care about me." We can never say those types of things when we're being tempted. Because God does care. He does understand. And He is looking for you to persevere so that you can show that you are truly approved and ready, ultimately, to receive the reward, your heavenly reward that He has set apart for you. So when we're praying for this, not to be led into temptation, an aspect of that prayer, kind of a fallout from that prayer, is that we'll be able to stand even when we are being tempted. You know, something else comes to mind as we think about temptation and sin and not being led into it. All of us know that we still fail. One of the things I think we're also asking here is for God to mercifully restore you to faithfulness when you have fallen to temptation. I want to be careful. I don't want to act like this prayer has, you know, all these escape clauses. That we're not really praying, you know, not to go into temptation. And then, well, if that doesn't work, then try this. If that doesn't work, try that. That's not the spirit by which we are praying this prayer. The Puritan Richard Sibbes said, Satan gives Adam an apple and takes away paradise. Therefore, in all temptations, let us consider not what he offers, but what we shall lose. Think about that. What if that general had just thought about all that he would lose in giving in to this lust? A wife of nearly 40 years. The respect built up over a lifetime. Leadership of the highest intelligence agency in the land, all given up for a few passing pleasures. And how many Christians give up so, so much more because they fall to temptation and sin. God never wants His people to sin. And we have to strive to avoid sin at all costs and pray this prayer diligently. But still, what happens when we do fail? We need to remember something about our failures. And let's think about Peter once again. Remember something else the Lord said to Peter. Right before Peter said he would die for the Lord, Jesus predicted his threefold denial. Jesus had sent something to Peter that really had prompted, you know, this conversation between them. In Luke chapter 22, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." There are temptations into which believers can fall. His faith should not fail, God, the Lord said. But we can still turn away from the Lord for a time. And when you have returned to me, he said, strengthen your brothers. There's a mystery here. But it still remains that Jesus watched this disciple falter. And he knew something. He knew that Peter needed to have this brokenness brought into his life, the failure into his life, so that he would be more prepared for ministry. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? Sometimes, yes, success breeds success. But there are other times where failure breeds it. God humbles us, takes us low so that we're broken and more pliable in His hands, where He knows it's best for us to fail. Because there's a further purpose that He wants to achieve in us. Here He told Peter, strengthen your brothers. There's going to be, Peter, something in your life from now on. It's probably like Paul's thorn in the flesh. For Peter, I have to believe that every time he was tempted to get up on his high horse, start saying, why don't you start acting like me? But he paused and remembered what he had done. There was a more tone of Christ, more an attitude of gentleness and working with fellow believers that was seen in the life and the heart of Peter. Sometimes God uses weakness to help us learn how to be strong. I remember a number of years ago when I blew out my ACL playing basketball. And the pain of going through the surgery and then having to go to the physical therapist and really having to learn how to walk all over again. And I remember seeing in there this old lady who had had the same kind of surgery, and at that point in time, that old lady could have outrun me down the hallway. I wouldn't have been able to catch her because my leg just would not work the way that it should. I remember there was some 70-year-old man in there who had his whole knee replaced, and he was, you know, jogging on the treadmill. I wouldn't have been able to catch him either. And the therapist, a time or two, he didn't realize, you know, it hurts the pride, but he'd point to these and say, yeah, you can get like them. If you just keep working out, you'll be able to walk again. It wasn't, again, something that you really were proud about when you went home, but it was something that began as you humbled yourself, you know, spurred you on, made you more determined to keep working at it so that you could use your leg. Maybe not all the way like you once used it, but at least start walking the way that you should once again. That's often the way it is when God allows us to fall and falter. He keeps us from falling ultimately, but He uses those moments in time to humble us and to teach us really how dependent we are upon Him for our walks, for our lives, for being able to encourage a brother or sister in the Lord. And all of this, avoiding temptation, enduring temptation, overcoming temptation, all of it just again and again proves to us and shows to us the greatness of our Savior and our need of Him. As Peter said, I think he wasn't just thinking about the people to whom he was writing when he said this. But I think as he penned these words, some of these lessons about his life that we've reviewed were on his mind and in his heart when he said this. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing? That our God preserves us and keeps us from temptation, and that's to His praise and His glory. That our God helps us when we are being tempted to resist so many of the temptations of this world, and that's to His praise and glory. And even when we're ultimately distressed, we stumble, to His praise and honor and glory, He gets us back up on our feet and helps us to start walking with Him once again. May God bless us. May God keep helping us to pray for one another and for all those in His church.
they would not be led into temptation. Let's pray that way.